Next case, please.
The next application is case 11820. Michael Chanot and Margaret K. Chanot seek variances from the minimum lot width requirement for a parcel and the minimum lot size requirement for a parcel, section 115-194B1 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the west side of Lockerman Road, east side of Coastal Highway, approximately 0.57 miles north of Steamboat Landing Road. The 911 address is 28708 Lockerman Road, Milton. The zoning district is AR1. The tax map is District 235, Map 16, Parcel 8. Specifically, they're requesting a 31.19-foot variance from the frontage along the waterway, a 2.25-acre variance, and a 0.246-acre variance. Received no letters in support, no letters in opposition, new two mail returns. Staff notes this one's a little bit different, as the property is located within 1,000 feet of a tidal water body. Properties are required to have 150 feet of frontage along the water body, and then they're supposed to required to have a 1 acre minimum lot size. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
My name is Michael Chanou, and my address is 9 California Avenue, Lewis, Delaware, 19958.
You wait right here. I'm going to swear everybody at the same time.
Margaret Kenneth Chanou, 9 California Avenue, Lewis, Delaware.
Okay, thank you.
Leif Erickson, 37448 Clubhouse Road, Ocean View, Delaware.
Okay. And Kristen Berry with Axiom Engineering here in Georgetown, Delaware.
And do you all swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
For the record, my name is John Sergovic, and I'm with the law firm of Sergovic, Carmi, Weidman, McCarty, and Owens here in Georgetown, and we represent Mr. and Mrs. Chanou. As indicated, this is a somewhat different variance request because we're dealing with section 115-194, the conservation zone, which was adopted by the county back in 1989 and had one amendment in 1992. The criteria is mostly an environmental criteria, as best as we can tell. And that's why Mr. Christenberry and Mr. Erickson are here to talk about the environmental aspects, and that the test regarding the environmental aspects are set forth in section C3 of 194, which talks about that the granting of a variance will not adversely affect water quality or adversely impact the tidal water bodies adjacent to the conservation zone. With that kind of preview, I will address the five numbered variance criteria as if it was a regular variance application. The lands of the applicant were inherited from Mr. Chanou's grandparents and are located off the northbound lane of Route 1 at Broadkill River. The DelDOT taking to create Route 1 and abandon old Route 14 and the bridge therein located is created an odd-shaped parcel of 2.76 plus or minus acres. The seeking a variance to create three lots on lands inherited by the applicant on the 2.57 was caused by the DelDOT taking. We'll have some maps that'll show this, but the maps will show that DelDOT, when they took the lands from Mr. Chanou's grandfather, created two lanes. The bridge over the Broadkill River, they took an excessive amount of lands between the that would be the northbound lane of Route 1 and the remaining lands of Mr. Chanou's grandfather. The configuration of the lands was caused by Del Dot's taking, leaving only 118.52 frontage on the Broadkill River. The ordinance requires a 150-foot wide waterfront area, and the creation of the narrowness of that first proposed lot was caused by the way Del Dot configured their taking. There are three proposed lots. Lot number one is slightly over an acre. Lot number two was the original farmhouse of Mr. Chenu's grandfather. On lot number one, there was a pre-existing mobile home, and that was needed to be abandoned because the permission for the home was under section 115.210A1 for a caretaker, and then after the there was no longer a need for a caretaker, that was removed. The lands require a variance to allow only three lots on 2.567 acres. The AR1 district would normally allow 20,000 square foot, and we have one lot that's slightly over an acre, one late lot that's about, two other lots are approximately 3/4 of an acre. With that said, I'd like to ask Mr. Christianberry to explain his booklet.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Before that, Mr. and Mrs. Chenu, is what I've said.
Sir, do you want to come up here so we can?
Yeah, can please. You just, what I've just said about the history of the property, is that true and correct?
Yes.
Good evening. The exhibits that we have in front of you are pretty straightforward. We start with just a copy of the application that was filed with your office, a copy of the relevant code that we are asking the board to consider a variance for, the explanation of how the criteria for the variance is met by the application, a copy of the subdivision that's proposed is immediately behind that. So if you haven't seen that yet,
you're going to want to use the clicker.
This up here?
Nope. That little
further left.
On the other, your left.
Right. Left. There you go.
All right. There's the actual subdivision plan for the project. Follow that with a series of aerial photos, kind of giving an aerial history of the project. The next page is, this is the site in 2012. Gives you kind of an idea of what things look like today. There was in 2012 still the mobile home on what is now proposed lot 3. Proposed lot 2 is the old farmhouse. Proposed lot 1 is the area that's to be developed. And then the next page is just kind of a blow up of that same photograph with some topography shown. I know one of the questions is about whether or not there's any water quality issues. The area that's going to be added,
you're trying to call paint?
Paint. I'm trying to paint down a little bit. There we are. Okay. The area in here, where proposed lot one is at the east end, is relatively flat, and that's the only area that would have new impervious cover compared to the rest of the property. When you look at the next photo, this is what the property looked like in 1992, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then, just to kind of give you the big picture, 1954 shows what it looked like before DelDOT took the bridge, and the original highway was still in front on the north side of the subject property. For stormwater management, 2 years ago, Denrick adopted new stormwater management regs. And for residential, they have what they call a standard plan. It basically has three simple criteria for residential construction. That the land disturbance will be less than 5 acres, and that on a lot between a half acre and 2 acres, up to 7,500 square foot of area would be impervious. The granting of this variance would not lead us to a position where any of these lots would exceed what's permitted in a standard plan. And then, after that, I'll let Mr. Erickson discuss the soil conditions.
Chris, before you do that, can we turn back to the survey showing the three proposed lots? With respect to the 1 acre minimum,
yes.
With respect to the land area between the beginning of the subdivision and the three lots, are the areas outside of the proposed three lots unlikely to be developed residentially since they're owned by the state?
They're all owned by the state. It was all acquired to put in the bridge abutments.
And so that for the state taking purposes, it has to be devoted to a state use rather than a residential use.
Yes, if you can you pan down on this one a little bit, John? You can see there's really no opportunity for the state to develop in the remaining land. So the purple line reflects the, this is the tax map line, which is fairly close to what the surveyor actually found out there. That remaining land in there is all state land. There's no, I can't imagine or envision any future development or construction beyond what the applicant proposes to do.
And with respect to the neighborhood, one of the neighbors is a cemetery, is that correct?
Correct.
Would that have any adverse impact on the cemetery?
I don't know any.
And is the other property devoted to farming use?
Presently, looks tilled.
And shouldn't have any adverse effect on the farmer, the three residential properties?
Absolutely not.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Leif Erickson. I'm licensed by Denrick, the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control, as a percolation tester and a site evaluator to conduct the site evaluations, which is step one of the septic permit process. A copy of the approved site evaluation for the proposed lot one there, the open area Ken spoke of, is in the back of your packet. By nature of the approval, it shows that it meets all Denrick regulations and requirements. And there's also the plot drawing aspect of the site evaluation. Ken blew it up slightly out of scale, but it does show that the two existing residences on that property are on current conforming septic systems. So there's no old septics out there. And those permit numbers are referenced there. One was permitted and installed around 2004, and one was installed around 1999. Those are the dates on the permit, so it could travel. They're good for 2 years, so give or take a couple years there. In conclusion, the proposed land use meets all applicable Denrick regulations and is a well-suited land use given the deep nature of the groundwater and assigned percolation rate. I feel professionally that this project is based on sound environmental regulation and will not lead to further degradation of the groundwater or surface water, specifically the Broadkill River. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
No, I think you answered that question for me.
I think so. Any questions from members of the board?
No effect on the Broadkill at all.
That's correct.
You have any questions, Mr. Moose?
No.
Sure.
I've got some, but
members of the attorney come back. That's all. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anybody has any questions, of either me, the applicants, or any of our personnel.
I'll see them. We'll start down here with Mr. Werbman. Do you have any questions for anybody at this time?
Nope.
Okay. Mr. Rickards, do you have any questions?
You have an aerial here that is showing on the Lot 3, a trailer. I'm looking at, is that gone now?
Yes.
All I see is a pump house there.
No, it was a trailer that was authorized. It was treated as one lot, and it was a trailer that was authorized for a caretaker for Mr. Chanu's grandfather.
Okay.
But it's been removed.
Is it gone?
When he died, the use was no longer permitted, so the mobile home was removed.
Right. Okay, and there's a shed on there. Is that on the other?
That would be on proposed Lot 1. That's still in existence.
That's still in existence?
Yes.
Okay, and Lot 2 is as the aerial, as is?
That is the original farmhouse, Lot 2.
It is the original house. It has a...
Sir, you need to step, we can catch on the microphone.
Please.
I guess Lot 2 would be the original homestead with a detached garage. And
okay.
Then, yeah, that's pretty much all that's left on the property besides a 10 by 8 shed that sits on close to the river lot, which is right on the line between the two.
And all I'm seeing on Lot 3 is a shed and the septic tank. Is that correct?
Lot 3. Yes,
shed. Pump house?
And there's a pump house, yes.
Okay, I'm looking at the aerial plus the your survey. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
No other questions.
Yeah, I got a couple. Right now it's all one lot. You're looking to make it three lots. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is there a reason why you're looking for three and not two?
Well, just because the obviously my clients wished it to be able to develop this property, and rather than seeking just two, we can't really, particularly given the configuration of the land and the surrounding property owned by the state, that we can't really comprehend why the 1 acre requirement was actually imposed. And if there is a, if the reason is to curtail the density within 1,000 feet of the waterfront, we're curtailed in density by the fact that we're surrounded by the state lands, and they can't be developed. So, you know, we did not create the way DelDOT did this taking. They left us with only 2.7 acres. They could have left us with three. They didn't. And it's not something we did. It's something DelDOT said, we're going to do this configuration. And if you look at the survey map around it, there's multiple acres of land that DelDOT has taken that can't be put to residential use. So why should we be penalized because the state overtook the property back in 1966?
Well, one question that I've got, Ms. Cornwell, perhaps you could answer this. It looks to me like this would probably be considered a through lot with frontages on both sides.
It would.
Why?
Well, it looks to me like this is adjoining to lands owned by the state when Route 1 right there, and then you've got 14 on the other side. I'm just curious about the building envelope on this. If we were to subdivide it this way, are we going to be making an unbuildable lot without the applicant having to come back for a variance for building something on it?
Again, we do not front Route 1. DelDOT fronts Route 1. I mean, they
have property between Route 1 and your property.
It's state property beyond the right-of-way.
Right.
So we're not fronting on Route 1. The only access we actually have to Route 1, there's...
According to the survey, it states that Route 1 is 200 feet wide. And on the drawing, that 200-foot width goes right to the property line. And I think that's why Mr. Sharp is asking the question. Granted, you do have, 70 feet plus or minus between the property line and the road. But where it says State Route 1
is 200 feet wide.
And then it's
And then if you look at, to the left of that verbiage on the, on those drawings, it's, it shows 200-foot line.
From the edge of...
From the property line in question versus in the property line on the opposing side of the highway. And so that's why he's suggesting that it would be a through lot. Granted, there is land there, and like I say, plus or minus 70 feet.
I mean, would through lots generally imply that you're going to have the ability to receive access on both frontages?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
In fact, most, a lot of them do not.
But what it does do...
That's one thing, that would certainly not.
What it does do is create a greater setback requirement on that side of the property, and for example, those sheds would be non-conforming. And probably the dwelling, is that correct, Ms. Cornwell?
Sheds would be.
There's 38.5 feet, and the setback would be 40.
The setback would be 40, but again...
It'd be non-conforming, but even still, so lot one would be a very limited building envelope.
At its widest, it would have approximately 49 feet, and then it would narrow as it goes south.
Taper down to nothing.
Yeah.
As far as the building envelope.
It would narrow to about 9 feet.
Well, that...
Right, but I mean, again, it's over...
Right.
It's several hundred feet in length.
The south end is where we would put in the septic system, clearly.
Right.
The north end would be their building envelope, and it would be pretty significantly curtailed.
Sharp,
why are you questioning a through lot?
Well, I question it because...
It's buildable.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to be subdividing this into three lots, and you're going to be making a lot that's, and the one that's concerned is lot one,
right,
is practically unbuildable because of the building envelope.
Right.
You know, potentially they're going to have to come back here, and that was...
If they build on there, they'd be looking for another variance.
I don't know that it wouldn't be buildable because you've got 129 feet plus.
There would be almost 50 feet at one end.
50 feet on one end.
They'll be restricted to what they can do.
You're either going to build a ranch or a custom home to fit in there.
Yeah. Maybe.
I think there's an envelope you can build in.
But I guess it's
going to be a long and narrow.
Just because I didn't conceive of that.
Being frontage.
That being frontage because it was so far removed.
Yeah, and that's fine. It was one of the things I saw, and I really thought probably ought to bring it up just because of that.
But it does bring up an interesting point that in addition to the requested variance, additional variances will be needed in order to subdivide the properties because they're non-conforming, but once you subdivide, then they have to conform or the variance has to be granted. Where the dwelling is 38.5 feet, the setback is 40.
With the existing structures, you wouldn't ask us to relocate those. Those would be...
No, but we would, right, but we would need to consider a variance for those.
New construction would need to require a variance.
Well, because of the property, lot two is not established right now. Is that correct? It's all one property. So once you establish lot lines on the parcel, then the variances would have to be granted. Technically,
but perhaps not.
And I don't know if we can address that here or not.
No, it's not an advertisement.
Yeah, it would have to be advertised, but there is a debate that particular structure would not need a variance because it's pre-existing.
As long as it's all one lot.
Yeah.
When you change the lot line, then
if you need a variance for 2 feet, we'll need a variance. But I mean,
I think it's also your position that if DelDOT had not taken, I guess another interpretation would be so much wasted space, then you wouldn't be here.
Exactly. I mean, the whole configuration of what was left on this side of the road. I mean, why they had to take the amount of road frontage on Old 14 is beyond my comprehension, and why they had to put this big indent in right next to the Broadkill is also beyond my comprehension.
Or even if that property had been allowed to expand further southeast, then you would have had plenty of...
We've had 3 acres.
Again, everything was created because of the how DelDOT configured it, and it's now dedicated to the state.
and unusable.
So what was... An unusual situation here.
What was the difference in acreage before Del Dot took their easement?
This was part of the property on the other side of the river. If you look at the 1954 photo, this is the property line today, and it used to be this. All this was...
Yeah, so...
Del Dot took all that.
So acreage...
When Del Dot moved the bridge from here to here...
They put it through the middle of the property.
They just sliced right through.
So what was the total acreage difference?
Yeah. So you have 16 acres left on the other side?
Well, right now, we're sitting on two lots.
You need to come up to the mic, please. We can't record it if you're not in the mic.
Between the two lots, what we have now existing is 16.5 on the west side and 2.75.
5.7, okay.
Total about 19 acres.
So at one time, it was probably 30-plus acres.
Yeah, so it was a quite substantial piece of property, which...
Del Dot put a highway through the middle.
Yeah.
Wow.
With no...
Through eminent domain, or was it...
From my understanding, again, this was great-grandfather, too, so...
Yeah.
They didn't like to talk about stuff like that.
Okay. All righty.
And when Del Dot left us with 2.57 acres, your ordinance about a one-acre minimum didn't exist until 1989.
Right. All right, sir. Any further questions?
No questions.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Chair, hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
And Mr. Chairman, just as a point, this one not only has our normal standards, but because it's in a conservation zone, there are a few other additional ones, which I don't know if you have this packet in front of you, but it is addressed
on the back pages. Yeah, I looked them over.
The standard plan requirements?
Yeah, they're on the back
here. On page 10. Where it has supplementary regulations criteria.
Right.
Because this one has some circumstances being so close to the tidal waters, so there's a few other items that you'll need to address, and you can see them in numbers 1, 2, and 3. Those also need to be taken into consideration in your deliberations. And if anybody needs a copy, I can send down mine.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I think that Mr. Erickson's testimony addresses and satisfies those supplementary regulations and criteria as far as the conservation zone requirements. And I think in regard to the variance, the applicant has well addressed uniqueness. Obviously, it's unique when the government runs a highway through the property and then leaves a lot of dead space, if you will.
Oh.
I think that prior to that, it could otherwise have been developed, but now it cannot.
Right.
Obviously, it wasn't created by the applicant. I don't think that it'll alter the essential character of the neighborhood, since there is farmland and a cemetery in close proximity. I think it's a minimum variance to afford relief, and so I would make a motion that we approve case number 11,820, and also further advise that the additional variances should be sought.
Okay. Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
Okay. I got a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Hudson that we approve case number 11,820. All those in favor of the motion, Mr. Workman?
Aye, for those reasons stated.
Again, Mr. Rickards?
Aye, for those reasons stated.
And Mr. Hudson?
Aye, for those reasons previously stated.
Again, Mr. Mills?
Aye, for my reasons.
And I, Mr. Calloway, for the previous reasons that have been stated and by Mr. Mills. So by vote 5-0, case number 11,820 is approved. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to stand recess.